And I'll tell you a really quick story. I was working for Accenture at 9/11. I was in Manhattan. I was working there. Fortunately, I was fine. But I was having, shortly thereafter, I was having a conversation with one of my mentors. And she just looked at me. We were having, you know, a glass of wine. And she just looked at me and she said, "Kate, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid?" And that, I mean, it stuck with me like how many years later? And it really stopped me to reflect. And it took me about another year, but that was when I made a decision to get off the road, to find what was the next chapter for me.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Tell me if you can relate to this decision. That decision between a brand name, big company career, versus going into the currently unknown names of the small startup world. Maybe you're thinking about fit. What is fit in a new role? How can you find out if you are likely to fit in your next opportunity? And is fear holding you back from taking that risk? You know the risk I'm talking about. Yeah, that one. If any of these questions have crossed your mind, I can tell you it's zero risk to listen to my conversation with today's guest, Kate Terrell. At one time in her career, Kate was responsible for the development and performance of 6,000 plus engineers around the world. She's got experience on both big and small company side, and I can tell you, Kate is an engineer's executive. Kate helped me build my career many years ago. She's back today with even more wisdom to share, and I can't wait for you to enjoy this conversation. Don't go anywhere. You're going to love it. And there's so much to apply into where you're at right now in building your career and balancing your life. Enjoy. Before we dive in, I have something for you. And I know you're ready for today's episode, so I'll be really brief. If you are an engineer who is listening because you know there is more for you, and you're looking to reach the next level in your career, we want to talk to you about getting results. I'm giving you a special invitation to request a career clarity call, followed by a free coaching session with our team. Our client success coaches work exclusively with engineers just like you and are ready to help. Schedule a call with us today by visiting careerclaritycall.com. Again, that URL is careerclaritycall.com. There is no commitment, and it's totally free. Take action to overcome your career growth barriers today, and we look forward to talking with you soon. Welcome back, engineers. It's awesome to be with you again. I am here today with a friend of mine who goes way back to my Whirlpool days, Kate Terrell, and Kate is the Chief People Officer at Octana, and I'd love that it's Chief People Officer. We're going to talk more about that. But Kate has been in roles at the VP and chief level with companies like Driscoll's, with Whirlpool Corporation. She has had some amazing experiences on the big side of business and in the startup side of business, and also has sat on the board for an amazing organization called Leadershape. If you're not familiar with them, check them out. Since 2012, she's served with Leadershape, which is a nonprofit, provides incredible leadership training to college students and young professionals. I got a chance to be a part of that many years ago. It's an incredible place. And Kate, thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
Yeah, Zach, I'm really happy to be here. It's a lot of fun.
This is amazing. So, Kate, you come from the HR and people side of the world. And for the engineer listening, some of our experiences with HR are great. Some aren't so great. And they're like, hey, what's going on here? Why should we listen to this person? And what I love about your background is you've led the people function of the business from the highest level on both the Fortune 500 and big giant organization side of the coin, but also now as the chief people officer in a really agile, small startup environment. And you've seen both sides. And feel free to take this whatever direction it triggers for you, Kate, but what have you learned from being on both extremes about people?
Yeah. You know, there are really interesting things about both of those extremes. And if I think about my large company experience, it really taught me what does it mean to have phenomenal leaders in an organization to really help people activate their careers. And there's structure and all of those things around that to help people progress. When I look at a small startup organization, it looks different, but employees want the same thing. They want interesting and challenging work. They want to be able to grow, and they want to be in an environment where they feel like they can make a difference and they can make an impact. And, you know, it's been interesting for me as I've stepped back and I've thought about it. I think it all comes down to, for individuals and people, it's about fit, right? Am I in the right organization for me to be able to thrive and to make an impact? Thinking about those things, there are great and amazing things about really large companies, and there are great and amazing things about really small companies. And sometimes we go into one type or the other type because we think we should, or that's what's there. Mm-hmm. And then what we discover is as companies grow and change, particularly in a startup environment, right? Because what you need at the beginning of a startup environment versus what you need as you start to grow and scale is different. That fit may also change. And so I think that's really important for individuals is, are they thinking about what are their career needs? What are their development areas? What stage is the company in? And is that a match for their passions, their interests, all of those things?
This is interesting. So I coach engineers from all over the world in all different career stages. And a lot of them have this belief that, oh, if I only worked in a startup, then I would be happier with my career. Or, oh, I need to get out of this small company and get a job at Apple or Google or one of these, you know, big tech companies, and that's what will make me happy in my career. You just said what people want in both environments is the same. Work that you can get really excited about, opportunities for growth, and an impact in the organization, a sense of purpose. Which of those three would you say is the place where people get disconnected the most? What's the hardest one when you talk about fit from your experience?
Yeah, I think some of it can be, is there the right type of work, right? So is this the work that gets you excited and energized to come in? And part of it is and the needs of the company, right? Are those the match? Certainly you have to feel connected to the purpose, to the impact that you're able to make. But I think that, again, different companies need different things at different stages. And so sometimes what a company needs and what you want are different. Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask, like, ooh, is this the right fit? And sometimes what you need and what the company needs are a phenomenal match. And that's where you get the energy and the excitement and the, oh my God, I wake up and I can't wait to start to dive into some of these challenges. And so I think when you're evaluating those things, and again, it's not what people tell you you should want. It's really about what makes you tick and what does the business need, because you can't look at those separately.
I love what you say there, Kate. Tell me, where do we get stuck then? Like there's oftentimes a sense of that energy and that fit when we start. We get to a new place and we're excited and that work is engaging and interesting, et cetera. And then a lot of people hit a plateau or they feel stuck or burned out. What's missing? What is it that leads to people going from great fit to totally frustrated and stuck?
Yeah, I think sometimes it has to do with, are you stepping back to reflect And I think we can get so caught up in the day-to-day and the commotion and I've got to do this and I've got to do that, that we don't step back and reflect. And I think further, we also can tell stories in our head, right? And all of a sudden we have these beliefs and those may hold us back. Those may hold us back from reaching out to do a special project that you think is going to be really cool and exciting. It may hold us back from going, gosh, it's time to make a change. I think all of those things come together. And if you don't have that regular time to stop and reflect, it can be like all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, wow, like this isn't coming together the way I thought it would be. And being able to have that open dialogue as well of like, this is what my aspirations are. This is what gets me really excited. How do I continue to evolve? And quite frankly, really focusing on what you can do, because even in your current role, you may just need to go, wow, I need to approach this in a completely different way. And if I do that, it is going to be additive. And oftentimes we don't just stop and challenge ourselves a bit.
How often is this happening? I mean, the engineer listening, you know, they got their notepad out and they're like, hey, Kate said, stop and reflect. Is this a daily thing? Is this a monthly thing? Like for you, what would you recommend to someone? Yeah. How often should you ask these questions?
I think you need to do it probably every 6 months to a year. And there are some people who may want to do it monthly and there's some people who may want to do it weekly. Like, I don't know that there's a one prescription fits everybody, but I think at least once a year, you're stepping back and you're saying, okay, here's where I am. Here's what is really, really exciting. Here's where I need to shift. Here's maybe where I need help in shifting, because oftentimes our paradigms can be so strong, like breaking that paradigm can be difficult. And so do you have your board of directors, so to speak, who can help you challenge those paradigms? Do you have a mentor at work or your manager at work who can help you with some of those things? I think those are great conversations. And you know, oftentimes we get so caught up that we forget to take time to reflect.
What type of people sit on Kate's personal board of directors? I mean, you are the board of directors for most of us, right? You're at the role that everybody dreams to get to, being at that chief level. And so in your life, who sits on that board, or what advice would you give to somebody who says, I don't really have that. I need to create that. Yeah. Who's on that?
You know, for me, it is some people who have been instrumental in giving me opportunities earlier in my career and have had really honest conversations. It is also one of the things that I love is really trying to build also diverse perspectives and backgrounds. So again, it's not just, oh, I'm only going to, you know, have previous managers or whatever. I like to have different people who are going to have different perspectives that bring that in. Some may be folks who've been my peers because I really respect and admire the perspective that they bring. Some of those folks, again, are folks who gave me the shot early on. And some of those people are ones where I'm like, you have a very different perspective than I do. Like, I want to hear your thoughts on this. And that's really valuable. And it should be a core group of people that you can rely on when you are thinking about and you're reflecting about your career, what you want, what are next steps, all of those things.
For the engineer listening to this, one thing I see a lot is this lone wolf mentality, flexing your intelligence. And I'm going to read another book about that. And I'm going to continue to do this on my own. And just encourage you, you know, listening to take this insight from Kate seriously. Who are those people? And don't overthink it. Just let's find those people who are in your inner circle, who you trust, who can provide that diverse perspective and create these times for reflection and really stepping back from what's going on. Is the work still aligned? Is there still a fit? I really like that perspective. So Kate, speaking of paradigms, I can't think of a group of people who might arguably be labeled more as having a stereotypical or strong paradigms about life than engineers. We have our whole set of memes just about engineers. And in many cases, we're proud of that. And in other cases, maybe not so much. But I'm curious, you've led all functions of the business. You've led engineering and product development teams, and now you're responsible for the entire organization and have been in other large companies. What is it about engineers that you would say is unique or different? Like, how do we want to become more aware of our strengths and weaknesses that are sort of unusual, if you will? Or maybe where are we the same and we just don't realize it? What's been your experience with this unique breed of employee, the engineer?
Yeah, I had 6,000 of them, I think, at Whirlpool. You know, engineers are unique in the fact that I think very structured, very detail oriented. And those are really wonderful. I also think about systems thinking, right? The engineer wants to know how the system works. And those are really important attributes. And they are things that we need. I think on the flip side, one of the things that engineers can learn is sometimes we don't have all of the details. And we have to think about our intuition. We also have to think about that EQ, right? That emotional. And it was funny, I had an interaction with an engineer where we're driving some change. And it's not just a, hey, here are the details, go do it. There's still that need and that desire of, I want to connect. I want to have the emotional connectivity to be able to deliver on the change that's going on. And so in that way, I think engineers are just like everybody else, right? They need that as well. Now, they may need it at a more detailed and granular level than other individuals. That's okay. But it is that same, like, I want to feel that connection. I want you to help me as well. It's not just numbers and data and everything else. It's a big part of it, but there's more to it.
For the engineer who wants to make it to this director and VP level, the places above individual contributor work, you're out of just the engineering department. From your perspective, where have you seen sort of the engineer gone wrong? Like, you get to that level and something about the way you show up in that place, you're missing something. What have you seen? Tell us about those high levels.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the biggest things that I see and is frustrating is I see engineers who want the director or the VP title, but they get their energy from doing that technical work and the depth of technical work. And they go, oh my gosh, to advance my career, I have to lead these big teams or these big and they hate it, right? And that's not their sweet spot. And that plays out not only for them, but for their organizations. And, you know, I love the fact, I know at Whirlpool and at the place that I'm at now, how do you have a technical track, right? So you can continue to grow and develop. And there's leadership that is involved in that, but it's different than leading big teams. And so I think for the person who does, like, if you get your energy by getting results through others, by coaching and creating a vision and creating that followership to achieve that result, then that's phenomenal. And continue to figure out how you grow and develop in that way, but also really know yourself to say, Is that where I get my energy? Or do I get my energy really diving into this technical problem and figuring it out? And, oh, by the way, sharing my learnings with people, because I want to share my learnings, but I don't have that day-to-day responsibility of people leadership, because I get to get in and figure out how things really work and how I can up-level it to really help the business, the project, whatever that might be.
This is super important. We got to sit on this moment for just a second, because it is really tempting to want to go after the bigger paycheck, the bigger title, especially if you're an engineer who's been successful by driving results in the technical work. And there's this sense of, well, the next step is manager, director, VP. And you mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation that it's the type of work that actually drives a big part of that fit. And then we lose sight of the actual type of work that a director or VP is doing versus the accolades and the belief of that's what achievement looks like.
Right.
And so for the person listening to this, like, please push pause for a moment and ask the real question. not do you want to be a director? Do you want to do what a director does every day to drive the organization forward? I wish somebody had said this to every engineer before we got to those levels. Because what happens is, unfortunately, to your point, you get there and then you realize this is not what I want to do.
And people tell stories, right? They tell stories of to be successful, you have to be a director or you have to be this. And like, let's blow that right out of the water, right? To be successful, you need to be in a role that is a great fit, that you get up excited about the work you're doing every day. That's what success looks like.
Yeah, this is the Happy Engineer podcast. And I am yet to meet a happy engineer who is at a director or above level and doesn't love doing the kind of work that you described, that visionary coaching, team leading, organizational development type of work. So just make note of that for all of our college grads listening to this, of people, hey, I want to be a VP one day. Settle down. Let's take it one step at a time. So in the spirit of reflecting then, okay, I love you said, take the time, ask these questions, 6 months, 12 months, pause and reflect. Let's reflect about Kate for a second. Take us back. You've had incredible success by all measures in your career. And a lot of us listening are like, hey, how do I get that? How do you move up? How did you get to these levels? Even though it's HR rather than engineering, a lot of those principles are the same. So take us back. What was a point in your career journey where you had to really ask yourself the hard question about, am I ready for the next level? Is this what I want? Is this what I value? And your courage had to come to the table to keep pressing through. What's a moment from your story that stands out in that way?
There are so many. And I'll tell you, one was taking the job at Whirlpool. And I will tell you that because I had been in Columbus for, I'll just say, a long time. I had a husband who had his own business, right? He had his own business. We were our friends, like we built a life there. And I get this opportunity to move to Michigan, right? And as a woman who was in Columbus, Ohio, I was like, move to Michigan. But move to Michigan, go to work for this, you know, phenomenal company, but moved to a very small town where we didn't know anyone, where we didn't have the support network. My husband quit his job, essentially. His partner took over the rest of the business, and we made that move. And I agonized over that, like that was a risk. And I remember my husband saying, like, the worst thing that can happen is you hate it and we move back. And it was like, okay, I can take this risk. Like, You can always adjust, right? And what I found was, from a career standpoint, that was a phenomenal opportunity for me, from a growth, from a development, from a learning perspective, and from getting to impact the business. Because what I loved about my experience there was there were growth opportunities all over the place. But had I let my fear hold me back from taking that risk, you and I probably wouldn't be here talking today, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, quite frankly, that I also would have had the courage to, again, take the leap from Whirlpool to Driscoll's, right? I moved 2,000 miles across the country to be able to come out here. And again, that was another one where, okay, like, it's a big move. It's a big adjustment. It's a different industry. It's all of those things. And then, quite frankly, and then I'll be quiet, but then the move going into a startup, like, oh my gosh, life sciences, tech, startup. I knew I had the core tenets of really great HR people, all of those things. But now, like, how do I apply this in an environment that is really, really different? But you do those things. And what I found is it's a very different experience than my past ones. And it is very additive to my overall portfolio of experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to learn, and hopefully I've also been able to have a positive impact on that business as we continue to grow.
So, okay, if you go back to Columbus and you're making this decision to uproot your family and take this risk to go to Whirlpool, what was it that you were most afraid of?
I think there were two things. One, I wanted to be sure that my family would be happy, right? That's a big adjustment. And two, you know, I'm a very achievement oriented individual, and I wanted to be able to be successful, right? I wanted to be able to get up there and demonstrate that I could make an impact. And that fear, right? That tension of, can I really do that, is one of those things where you're like, okay.
Kate, if somebody's in that place asking the question, do I have what it takes? Can I do it? Maybe there's a role they want to apply for internally for a promotion, and they're not even sure if they should apply because not sure if I have what it takes. Or I've been in this role for 5 years and I'd love to change companies and maybe move, but I hate to leave a good thing for something that may fail. You know, like, they're connecting with what you're saying right now. Like, what would you offer that person who's stuck in that place right now of fear that I'm not sure if I have what it takes?
I think you give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Like, our inner critic can be so strong, and you need to give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And you need to have confidence that maybe that next opportunity wasn't the best opportunity, but you learned something from it. You learn that you need to adjust. You learn that you need to do something different. And having that confidence in your capabilities that, okay, even if this wasn't the best thing and it didn't work out, I still learned from it and I'm still able to adjust. And I still have great skill and capability that I can bring to an organization, whatever that might be.
Does it get easier to face those fears?
No. No, it doesn't, right? Like, I think there's something innate about humans where that fear or that inner voice continues to be very real. And quite frankly, as I've had more of my career, like, you also know what the stake, like, the stakes now for me to move or to do, like, they're much higher than they were when I was early in my career. When you're early in your career, like, the stakes are different. I'm not going to say they're less or more, but the stakes are different.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's always there, and you just have to push yourself.
This is, I mean, it's amazing to hear you say this from your position, right? We can't argue with the fact that you've moved into now the chief level roles at huge organizations and in startups. So, you know, we can't kind of pull the, well, easy for you to say thing, like, you've lived it. But one thing I tell my clients is that the perspective on how hard the next step is.
Yep.
You know, for somebody who's way behind, you know, it's like, hey, that next step should be so, that's so small, that's so easy, it's so simple. But it's easy for you to say because you're looking back at a step you already took, right?
That's right.
For them, that next step is just as hard as your next step is.
The
truth is, every next level, next step, bigger thing, is going to trigger the same core question, do I have what it takes? And
that's right.
I love to hear you say, hey, buckle up. If you want to go achieve big things in your career, you're going to face a lot of these moments where fear stands between you and taking action, and you got to move through it. And I love this. Give yourself benefit of the doubt. You're better than
it is. And I'll tell you a really quick story. I was working for Accenture at 9/11. I was in Manhattan. I was working there. Fortunately, I was fine. But I was having, after, you know, shortly thereafter, I was having a conversation with one of my mentors. And at that point, I loved working for Accenture. I loved the work that I was doing, but my personal life was in a very different place because I was living and working in one city and I'd come home on the weekends and I was commuting and everything else. And she just looked at me. We were having, you know, a glass of wine, and she just looked at me and she said, Kate, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid? And that, I mean, it stuck with me like how many years later? And it really stopped me to reflect. And it took me about another year, but that was when I made a decision to get off the road, to find what was the next chapter for me. I ended up meeting the person who is now my husband. But that question, even though, you know, my life, like, I had this great career, I had work that I loved, but I had a different void. Question is so important, I think. And again, it sticks with me to this day.
I love this
little, it's a really subtle point, but it's super interesting that the question, the moment of that conversation, it was a year later before your life really shifted from the impact of that question. And sometimes I think we look in such a short time horizon, like, oh man, I listened to this podcast and nothing changed in my life.
Yeah.
But sometimes the question or the mentor who says the right thing at the right time, it's not like the next day everything changes. Sometimes that seed has to germinate and grow for a little while before it comes above the soil and actually creates change in your life. And but Kate, hold on. We got to back up for a second. You were there in Manhattan around one of the most pivotal times in history. Just really quick, tell us what that was like for you.
Oh, you know, it was a devastating time for our country. And at the same time, you saw a community come together to really rally something that was very, very difficult. And for me, it was one of those, wow, like life can change. Life can change pretty quickly. And how do you assess all the different components of your life? And so it was pretty impactful to be in the middle of that or be so close to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did the intensity of that experience, how has that stayed with you? How does it impact you now?
You know, I think one of the things, and this is a theme throughout my life, is there were a lot of things when 9/11 happened that were out of our control, my control, those types of things. And I think being able to focus on, and that can be really frustrating, right? When you think about everything's outside of your control, how do you take the one or the two things that you can control, that you can impact, and focus there? Because that's a lot less frustrating than thinking about everything else that's on there. And I think we can often, and I take that lesson, I've taken it throughout my life. And you have to be able to focus on what you can control. Like that's where you find power and energy. And if you continue to focus on things that you can't control, it's frustrating and it's demotivating. And so that's something that I think does carry through. So this big thing happened. Okay, well, what can I do? Well, Kate, you can reassess your life and you can look at your values, your priorities, all of those things, and make sure that you're doing what you want, whatever that looks like for you. Can you make a contribution? You know, what is your contribution to helping, right? And helping a community that was devastated by something like that.
The phrase work-life balance pops into my mind when I hear you describe reassessing where you value spending time and energy. And this is a tough topic in the world recently with having come through the season of the global pandemic and COVID and how that has impacted work-life balance. But what would you say are the biggest things you've learned? You're in a huge role leading the organization as a chief people officer. Like, how do you frame up the idea of work-life balance in your own journey?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll be provocative and say, I don't really believe in work-life balance. I believe...
Me neither. I'm so glad to hear you say that.
I do not. I believe in work-life integration because the fact of the matter is what work-life balance, what I think you're trying to get from it is that in whatever you're doing, whether it's personal, it's professional, you want to be engaged and you want to be fully present in that moment. And there are times when work is hugely demanding, and there are times when your personal life or something, it is hugely demanding. And the fact of the matter is, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. How do you get those different pieces to fit together in a way that works for you and allows you to engage the way you want to engage? And so that's the key to me, is figuring out how those pieces of the puzzle fit together in the right way that make you feel energized and whole.
Be fully present. I love that phrase, but that's partly because I'm a coach and I know for myself what that means and how I show up in the world. But when I was in my engineering days, I really wouldn't have had a clue what you mean by that. So can you like describe in layman's terms, what do you mean by being fully present?
Yeah. I think it means you are listening. I think it means you are noticing. You're taking the time to not be distracted. And quite frankly, in today's day and age, you've got Slack going, you've got text messages, but you can have all of these things that divert your attention. And it's hard. Like, I know for me, it is really, really hard. But are you there? Are you listening? Are you engaging? Are you noticing? Are you stopping to notice? Those are the things to me that say, oh yeah, okay, I'm fully present in this.
The systems and the technology and the company cultures that we work in, I'm just going to pound this home because I think it's so important. What Kate just described, being fully present means no distraction, means being able to apply 100% of your conscious mind to listening and noticing and being with what's happening in this moment. And we have so much built in that's productivity multipliers, at least as they're branded that way, right?
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, when you have all of those inputs happening at the same time, you are preventing yourself from being fully present, which limits your ability to experience life the way that you just described this, you know, fulfilling, happy, flowing, integrated state. And so how do we fight that sort of culture towards constant distraction and multitasking, which isn't a thing either?
It is not.
With this idea of, I want to be fully present. That's how I want to live. But this, you know, the systems and the company and these, like, how do you reconcile that, Kate?
Yeah. At first, I think it's really hard in today's day and age. I will say carving time out, focus time, right? Scheduling it. This is focus time. You know, one of the other things that I did recently is I went through my phone and I shut off a ton of notifications, like stop binging at me. And so that is also helpful, right? Because like we're Pavlov's dog, right? Oh, it bings. I got to go look at my phone. I got to see what's there.
Totally.
And so those are a couple of simple things, knowing that it is really hard in today's day and age.
Yes. I love the specific action to carve time out. And just to add to that, a lot of times we take no action because I'm not able to solve the whole problem. Yeah. You know, well, Kate, there's distractions. So what am I going to do? Well, if you can carve out an hour a day of pure focused work in a flow state in a way that's fully present, you're still going to enjoy that life more than zero. It's like, just because you eat one unhealthy thing doesn't mean you should throw the whole diet out the window for the next 6 months, right? Just bite off what you can and make that incremental step forward. I love that. Great engineering and great coaching, Kate. I always end with this. I think we know that questions lead. And the answers follow. We want to ask ourselves great questions. And I know we could go 1,000 more directions with your story and all the amazing experiences you've had. But just to wrap this up, if the engineer listening is asking the question, how do I get to this place of happiness and fulfillment? And I want to be a VP of engineering one day. And how am I going to make this happen? What would be the best question to lead them with?
I think the question I would ask myself is, what do you value? And list all of your values. What are the things, you know, it might be achievement, it might be personal time, it might be wealth creation, it might be any of those things. List them all and then continue to narrow them down until you get to your top three. And then take an inventory of how you are living those values and what's in sync and maybe what's out of sync so that you can make an adjustment.
What do you value? I love that question. And I can tell you with the engineers that I coach, Kate, a lot of times we have not spent any quality time with even what are my values, period, let alone boiling it down to the top three, which is, that's something I'm going to have to take and go home and do. That's really great. Kate, thank you so much for this time. I know people listening are going to be curious about who you are and Octana and the work you're doing and, you know, leadership and the work that they do. Just, you know, if somebody wants to connect with you or get to know more about what you're up to, where would you point people? Where can they find out more?
Wow. They can always go to my LinkedIn profile, which is just Kate Terrell, or they can feel free to reach out that way. That's probably the best way to learn more about me.
And if somebody wants to find Octana, can you just really briefly tell us where you're at now and what you all are doing, how they can get more info?
Yeah. So Octana is a technology company that really helps life sciences and pharmaceutical companies deliver to connect with the healthcare providers. And so we've got an amazing technology platform. We are located in San Francisco. You can find out more about us at octana.com.
Awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes. And for the engineers who love to geek out on tech and what's going on, some really amazing things happening in that organization. Well, Kate, can't thank you enough. This has been fantastic. And just wish you a ton of success with what you're doing there at Octana and the work you continue to do in volunteering and helping shape leaders around the country and the world. And I hope we can connect again sometime soon.
Zach, I've really enjoyed our time together and look forward to talking again in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Kate.
Hello again, my friend. It's Zach White, your host and your coach for this wild ride called career growth. I hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, if you feel like an overworked and undervalued engineer who wants to find better balance and get paid what you're worth, I want you to get started today by checking out the Productivity Power Laws, my free video short course at productivitypowerlaws.com. If you're new here or you haven't done this yet, this is definitely the first step to get started in applying these principles to your life. So head over to productivitypowerlaws.com and grab your free gift from me and the team at Awaco. Let's take a moment and debrief and put our action plan together around what this conversation with Kate Terrell means for you. And it's just like I tell all of my coaching clients, engineers at every level, knowledge is not power. Only knowledge that you use and implement in your life is power. So listening to this conversation with Kate has no meaning, no purpose, no value in your life if you do not take action and create change in your life as a result. So let's talk about what we can do, how we can take action in your engineering career and in your life right now. First thing, have you had one of these moments to sit back, to step back and reflect recently? Kate described, you know, hey, at least every year, ideally maybe every 6 months. If you feel the need to do it more often, great. But when was the last time you paused and took intentional time to step back and reflect on the fit between yourself and your work? And I love what Kate shared here. Pay attention. It wasn't about, is your income where it needs to be? Is your title what you want it to be? You know, three things. Is the work interesting and engaging? Are you getting opportunities for growth? And are you making an impact? Ask yourself those questions around fit. Is the work that you're doing in the company that you work for still a fit? When was the last time you stopped and asked that question? And when was the last time you engaged your personal board of directors in seeking counsel, advice, and mentorship in that? Who should be on that board of directors? All right, people that you know, that you trust, those who have already walked the road before you, mentors, great coaches. If you don't have a coach, you need to get one. And people who are at a peer level, who might be, again, hustling the same direction that you are. Get that personal board of directors and engage in this conversation. Let me tell you a quick story about how I met Kate. I actually reached out to her back when I was just a young whippersnapper engineer at Whirlpool Corporation. And when I mean whippersnapper, man, I was that kid who was reaching out to everybody, just trying to figure everything out, how to get promoted. I had a lot of things going on. I was everywhere all the time. And man, she made time for me when I know I didn't deserve it. All right. But I reached out to Kate and just had the same question we all have. How do I do this? How do I get results? How do I accelerate my career? What is leadership? How do I do leadership development? What are the next steps? Give me the answer. And here's what I want you to know. You know, I reached out to Kate for support and being part of my board of directors when I was looking at my career path in engineering. I don't remember all the details of what she shared. That was a long time ago. But here's something that I do remember. Kate received me with the same level of respect and care as anyone else that she worked with. I felt so important when I walked into her office. And also, all these years later, when I reached back out to Kate, having not talked to her for, I don't know, a decade, she remembered my dog's name, Ziva, because it was connected to the name of a character of a TV show that she and I both liked, NCIS, and had all these, you know, specific memories from our time together. Now, that is not a strength of Zach White's, but I just want to say, man, as a leader, remember that those little things in the way that you connect with somebody, how you make them feel, and remembering some of those details that might seem inconsequential. I mean, I was so honored by that, and I was so encouraged, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you remember my dog's name. So that's totally off the subject, but just remember, leader, you listening to this, those little details really do matter. Let's go back and talk about fear. The story of going from Columbus, Ohio to Michigan, you know, not only for a Buckeye would that be a pretty tough transition, but facing that question, will I succeed? Do I have what it takes? You know, I talk about this all the time with engineering leaders. I'm actually about to do a talk with a big organization on the exact topic of confidence and imposter syndrome in just a few days. And what I want you to hear from Kate is, one, give yourself benefit of the doubt. The negativity bias is so strong, and engineers have it worse than anyone. You see yourself in the worst possible light, and I want you to know that you are capable of more than you think. I believe in you. I know that you can do more than you think you can do. I say that with 100% confidence. As a coach, as an engineer, as someone who has worked with all kinds of people, I promise that you can do more than you think. And if you need help unlocking that, then get a coach, join one of our programs, do something to take action and unlock that. But I just want you to know, you need to give yourself the benefit of the doubt, but also recognize that it's not going to just go away, the fear. It doesn't just become easy. Did you catch that? When I asked Kate, does it get easier? You know, when you went from senior manager to director, did it get easier? From director to senior director, did it get easier? When you became a vice president, a chief people officer, did it get easier? No. You are going to face these demons, this fear, over and over again if you want to continue to grow and make a bigger and bigger impact. And I know you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this. So don't be surprised when fear rears its head. But ask yourself that question, what's the worst thing that can happen? Give yourself the benefit of the doubt and get into action on what you can control. What a life lesson from being there in Manhattan on 9/11, when you're overwhelmed, when everything is spiraling out of control, when you're afraid. Find the one thing, the small thing, that is within your control. Make that choice. Get into action. Such a powerful life lesson. One more thing I want to leave you with in terms of specific action to take after listening to this. We talked about being fully present, work-life integration. So many people are working on, how do I find balance? How do I integrate in a way that's going to be fulfilling and really creates the happiness in life that I desire? And what Kate shared here is super important. Time where you're fully present in the moment is directly related to the quality of the experience of your life. And if you are constantly distracted, constantly pulled between 5, 6, 7 demands and different inputs from the moment you wake up and you grab that phone off your bedside table and open up social media all the way until the moment where you set your head back down on the pillow and you're scrolling until your eyes glaze over, you must carve time out for yourself for activities that are single-tasked and fully present. Listen, notice things. I love that. Notice things. Observe. Be like Sherlock Holmes. Be a detective. Just observe what's happening. Get curious and notice things and cut out all the distractions. If you're only able to do that for 15 minutes a day to start, perfect. Start somewhere. If you can make it an hour or 90 minutes, great. I want you to start carving out that time, if you don't already have it, for intentional, fully present time, starting now, because that is such a powerful, simple but powerful practice to begin experiencing a higher quality of life and the happiness that we're looking for. Awesome. Remember Kate's parting question. What do you value? What do you value most? Do you know the answer? If not, get off this podcast, push pause, think about it. Write it down and take action on all of these things. If you need help, reach out, get help. Don't be a lone wolf. There's a community of engineers and coaches out there who are going to support you, but you have to take the first step. So get the help and take action. Hey, I love you all. This has been fantastic. Connect with Kate, get to know the amazing work she's doing there at Oktana. And until next time, let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with 2 or 3 friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.